Hey everyone, welcome to Beyond the Bio. We're glad you joined us today and excited to share a series that will not only dive deep into the stories of our exceptional leaders at Bain, but get into how we work together and how we aspire to be better as a firm through our operating principles. These core principles are what produced our outstanding results, empower our teams, and fuel the reason why we're consistently recognized as the best place to work. Join us as we break down our five operating principles through the voices of guests who live them in their everyday lives and in their careers at Bain. Joining me today is Connie Kwok, an expert partner in our retail practice with more than 15 years of experience in e-commerce, digital innovation and transformation, and strategic partnerships. As we continue our operating principles series, Connie joins us today to focus on the principle practical and at cause. As we define it, practical and at cause means we take on challenges proactively, bring fresh perspectives to find solutions, and collaborate to overcome obstacles. Today, we're going to talk about Connie's Bain journey and how her story embodies this operating principle. Connie, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Keith. Lovely to join you.
So, Connie, as people who have been listening to this series know, I usually start with people's backgrounds and bios, but for this series, I'm flipping it. We're going to start by talking about the operating principle. Before we start to learn about your journey, let's spend some time talking about practical and at cause. What does this mean to you, and how has it been a part of your career journey so far?
For me, being practical at cause really means working really hand in hand with our clients so that you're working towards solutions that can actually be implemented in their organizations. So really going beyond the slides and the reports that consultants generally produce, but actually really driving real change for our clients to improve their businesses. I mean, for me right now, that I'm a senior leader within the firm, what I typically find is like very often clients will come to us with quite side problems, not directly connected to the work that we're contracted to do. But this is often where some of the real practical advice comes into play. For example, I've been working very closely with an e-commerce player in Europe on their upcoming five-year strategy this year, working on really meaty projects that's going to really drive their growth in the coming years. But I also remember one of the most meaningful meetings I had with them was when one of their commercial directors pulled me aside to give some advice to his team as they were trying to plan on how to conduct their annual negotiations with one of their biggest suppliers. It's a supplier that I worked with a lot during my Amazon days before I was at Bain. And we sat and talked about how I used to approach that negotiation, some of the tactics that I saw work and not work. And together we started to brainstorm how my clients should be starting to think differently about this year's negotiation. And for me, being that sounding board for our clients to help them think through the practical challenges of their everyday is something I really love about our job, because we're able to really step into the client's shoes and give them a new perspective of how they should be thinking about their business problems.
Yeah, and I remember having similar experiences where you realize, yeah, this worked in my spreadsheet, but this is never going to work in the real world. Bain people would prefer 80% right and 100% doable. Than 100% right and pretty useless.
Exactly. And making sure that what we recommend is actually something that will work within the company and that was actually drive practical change for them is really important.
Now, you gave an example as somebody who's senior, you know, being asked by an executive to coach the executive's team. How does this show up for more junior people at Bain? Can they be practical at cause even as first career out of university or first career after an MBA program or other grad program?
Yeah, I totally empathize with that question, because when I was more junior at Bain, I always underestimated my impact at helping clients in a real practical way. But I also remember a case I did when I was quite a junior AC. We're working for an insurance client, basically helping them to make sure they were allocating all of the costs of doing business. So when they were quoting for new work, they were making sure that all costs were being taken into account. And one of the most impactful things I did on that case was, yes, we had this really complex Excel model gathering all of the bits of data together. But one of the things I did was actually develop a front page with a really simple user interface, because the clients that we were working for, all these salespeople, they don't use Excel every day. Right. They just wanted a really simple calculator to input all of the things that they did, and it will just basically have a clear output of what they should be asking their clients. And that's what I did, just really boil down that simple spreadsheet into something that they were able to use day to day. And it was something that I felt like, I remember, even though it was like nearly 20 years ago, something that really added value to our clients, having this very easy and intuitive tool. So even as a very junior AE, you can definitely help your clients be practical in that course.
Yeah. And I remember, it's a silly example, but I remember working with an AC when I was a manager before I got promoted to senior manager, and we were doing operations work in an airport. And we were doing all this analysis, and they had all these experts, and the airline industry is not new, and they were trying to figure out how to run more on time. At the time, they were running like 30% on time, which is terrible. And some of the things we were doing were really complicated, but we also went down to where the bag sort was, and there was not a clock anywhere in the room. Like, you know, sometimes it's really complicated, and sometimes you need to go to Home Depot and buy a clock for the wall.
Exactly.
So, Connie, let me ask you a little bit about your experience. You touched on it a second ago. What other times in your experience, either at Bain or before Bain, has this practical and at-cause approach really been front and center in your approach to the work?
I joined Bain and then came back to Bain, but we can talk about that a little bit later. So for me, having been in industry for 15 years, it really helps me to lend a lot of credibility in what I do with our clients. I'm able to really speak the same language as our clients. And it's another level of being able to really empathize with what my clients are going through. It's a little bit of case of having been there and done that to be able to bring a perspective that the clients really understand, that you understand what their questions are about.
Yeah, industry experience, sometimes people who weren't in consulting before they got their MBA or advanced degree or have worked for a few years and they're a little intimidated to come over to consulting, that industry experience is hugely valuable. I left the performance improvement practice where I was a G&A partner, so working on corporate functions, to lead one of the corporate functions at Bain. And probably about a year or two in, I spoke to our chief talent officer, Russ Hagen, and said, you know, I would be so much better at client-facing work now that I understand how things work here in the real world. You know, that, and I don't know that enough people that are considering a transition into consulting value their experience the way they should, because that is hugely valuable.
Exactly. The challenges of simply being a people manager where you have five people under you and you're having to think about what motivates them, how do you incentivize them to meet their targets, what to do when someone's got a performance issue. These are everyday problems that our clients are facing every day, and the people should not underestimate the power of having that direct experience of being in industry and managing real people and real employees.
I've also had the benefit in recent years of being the client for Bain case teams. And that's also been a great experience in terms of learning how what we think we're communicating clearly in slides doesn't always translate. And so again, I just think, man, if I went back to the client side of the house, I'd be so much better at my job. I wanted to ask you a little bit about Engine 2 and the business building that you're doing there. And maybe you could start by just describing for people quickly what we call Engine 2 inside Bain, and then talk a little bit about how this practical at-cause approach manifests itself over there in Engine 2.
Sure. What we mean by Engine 2 is essentially helping a client discover an entirely new business. So say a client has a core business in one area. Engine 2 could be helping them to develop in an adjacency which is related to their original business, but extending into different capabilities and potentially a new business area for them to continue to drive their growth. I'm actually working on one of these right now. One of my clients is currently in the food and beverage space, very, very successful operator there. But they really want to build a new retail business from scratch in an entirely new industry. And it's going to be an omni-channel retailer from the start, so having both online and offline offerings. And it's a really interesting case where we have a real mixed team of Bainies across the board. So we have our generalist consultants who are doing a lot of the business planning, the financial models, but we also have the innovation and design team. They are here to basically play a really important role in designing what the value proposition is going to look like in the new venture. So essentially, what is the store going to look like, both the offline store, but also what applications and online apps are we going to be building to support the store? So that team's really important in driving that. But then there's also experts like myself on the team who've got that retail experience. And what I'm adding to the team is all of the back-end operations on in terms of like, how many buyers do we need for this new business? How big should the warehouse be? How big should the back room be? All of the nitty-gritty details. So it's a great mixed team where we're all bringing all of our superpowers into making this possible for our clients.
And my experience with working with teams similar to that are that everybody brings their own practical wisdom to the table, and they all have these great ideas that may or may not work in the real world. But together, we sort of check each other. And it ends up coming out, you know, a very practical, doable answer that sort of picks the best of all those worlds, right?
Exactly. And we're all consumers as well. So it's great. One of our designers on the innovation design team, she's actually just built a very, very quick and easy app that we've all been testing, and we've all been giving her feedback on how to improve it. It's been a great, great sharing experience.
Connie, thanks for sharing your insights on the operating principle. But before we get any further, I want to talk a little bit about your background. People have been listening to you now for several minutes, and they're probably wondering, so who exactly is she, and how did she get to be an expert partner at Bain? You mentioned that you had been at Bain and left Bain, but I want to start before that a little bit. Where did you grow up, and what was your sort of life goal or mission? You know, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Oh, gosh, that's a... I'm not sure I know what I want to be when I grow up now, but taking it back a little bit, I was born in Hong Kong. I was born there. I'm Chinese origin, but my family moved to the UK when I was 7 years old. My dad's an engineer. He got the chance to move to the UK for his work. My mum is a housewife. And when I was growing up, my family are not business people. We had no idea about business or consulting when I was growing up. But it was an interesting childhood growing up cross-culturally, obviously with a very Chinese traditional family at home, but growing up in the UK, and I did all of my education and university in the UK.
Right. Now, did you only live in the UK growing up? Did you move around at all?
Just in the UK. So I went to university both at Oxford and the LSE, all in the UK, yes.
So you mentioned that your dad was an engineer and you didn't have a business background person in your family, so to speak. How did you decide where to go to school and what to study while you were there?
When I was at school, I was interested in absolutely everything, and I was quite lucky in being quite academic, and I loved all of my subjects. It was really difficult to choose what I wanted to do. But one of my teachers recommended that I look into this degree at Oxford called Philosophy, Politics and Economics, a really wide-ranging topics there. But she thought it would really go with my kind of very generalist view of the world. But it also really helped with the fact that my dad wanted me to do something very practical, something useful. So the economics helped with that. And the more I found out about it, I understood that it was a very well-renowned degree. And I was very lucky to be able to get in there and study it. And it was a fabulous degree to really understand the worldview of things, but also have a very practical and financial background to my education.
That's great. And so one could argue that your dad instilled this operating principle in you from the very beginning.
Exactly. Make sure you can be practical and make money from day one. Yes.
So I know you ended up going back to school. You mentioned LSE there. What was the decision there? Did you go right after university, or did you work for a couple of years in between?
I went to the LSE straight after Oxford, a little bit still not really knowing what I wanted to do. And I was lucky enough that my parents were willing to continue to support me. So I did a master's in management to really, again, be a bit more practical and thinking about what I wanted to do. But this is where I started to learn about Bain and consulting. When you're at LSE, there's a lot of these career evenings where you go. And one of my friends just said, come to this presentation. There's free food, free wine. That was the main reason I went to this Bain presentation. But it was an incredible experience because it was the first time I was really exposed to, this is what business consulting actually is,
right,
and learning about that.
And did you meet people there that are still a part of your journey? Was it the people? Was it the work? Was it just the opportunity to work for some cool companies? What was the hook, I guess, that got you, aside from the free food and wine?
The main hook was actually listening to a lady called Lily Sulemanovic, who ended up recruiting me to Bain. So she had a 15-minute presentation talking about social impact and the great work that she did on a pro bono case at Bain. And that really impressed me that a well-renowned company was able to actually devote a lot of time and energy and their staff to actually do this. And that was the real main hook. And I started talking to her about that. And that was the real difference. I realized that Bain was a very, very different place to be. And what was the real impetus for me to apply to Bain in the first place?
Now, I know you joined Bain in 2004 in our London office. What were those early days like?
It was not easy, if I'm really honest with myself now. I felt like I had to really overcome a lot of imposter syndrome. As I said, I don't come from a business background, and here I was. And I really didn't understand why they chose me in a lot of ways. And back then, Bain isn't as diverse as it is now. There's not as much gender or racial diversity. So there was me as a minority really felt like I stood out as well. Plus the fact that I didn't come with a real finance-driven background. So all of this like weighted average cost of capital and all of these financial models, I was like, oh my gosh, it was a really nervous time. I was really also very thankful that Bain's training is really first class in actually taking you step by step through all the modules of work that you're expected to do. And slowly, I think it was when I started, I went into the PEG group quite early on in my AC days. That's when I really gained a lot of confidence and started to feel like I knew what I was doing.
Yeah, you know, everybody at Bain who's been here for a long time, whether they admit it or not, Manny referred to us as an army of like insecure overachievers. And Ivan and I were talking in a different episode recently, and everybody at Bain who's been here a while sort of wonders if they can do the work, because everybody here is like really high achieving. And then you have that moment where you go, oh, I'm going to be okay.
Exactly. And there's still times when, now that even though I'm a partner now, you still feel that, oh, am I supposed to be here? But then you kind of talk to your clients and they give you really good feedback. Yeah. And yeah, that gives you a lot of confidence as well.
So Connie, after 5 years at Bain, you decided to take some time away and do something different and maybe build out your expertise, but definitely not at Bain. What was your reason for leaving, and what was it that you wanted to do with the next step in your career?
After 5 years at Bain, I really did love Bain. All of my best friends were at Bain, and I felt like very entrenched in Bain life. I took an LOA from Bain for 6 months, and one of the things that I really reflected on was I actually looked incredibly young, and I felt like I really lacked credibility in front of my clients. I was a 27-year-old walking into a lot of client situations and feeling like I had never done an honest day's work. And that was the one thing that really led me to think, how could I get some more like practical and hands-on experience? And that's the one thing that made me pivot to think about doing something very, very different from Bain. So during my LOA, what I did was actually I emailed and cold called this really wonderful gentleman called Alan Yao. He's a restaurateur in London, and he really changed the way that Europeans thought about Chinese food. He comes from a very similar background to myself, also a Chinese immigrant family, but has really changed the way that people think about Chinese food and develop the first Michelin-starred restaurant in Europe. I was really lucky that he was willing to talk to me, and even more lucky that he gave me a chance to work for him, and he took me on essentially as an apprentice.
That's amazing.
In terms of how to run his restaurant. So I left Bain initially to do a 3-month project with him, but developed a really great relationship with him and ended up working with him for many years and ended up helping to develop a restaurant for him. So a very, very different experience.
And I'm sure there were a lot of other great experiences along the way, but as your journey continued, you found your way back to Bain. Before we get to how that happened, I'm curious, were Bain people still a part of your journey as you were away?
Yeah, they people, as I said, are all of my closest friends. And but also, I was really lucky to have some real key mentors from Bain. So I really want to name check Alex Back, who was my mentor back when I was in Bain, when I was an AC to a consultant. But he has continually advised me throughout my career. And he, when I came back to Bain, he was one of the first people I called as well to give me advice. So really thankful to have him.
And then you decided to come back. Did you come back into the regular consulting role that you had left, or did you look to do something different? And how many years had passed in between there?
I left for 13 years. And to be honest, when I was coming back, I didn't actually think about Bain specifically. The way that I found out about Bain was there was a alumni outreach email encouraging us to have conversations with Bain. And I noticed that the person who sent it was someone that I knew from Bain London. So reconnected with her. And this was how I kind of started discussions about potentially coming back to Bain. And I'm not a generalist partner. I'm actually an expert partner. Mm-hmm. And I was able to learn about how different that track was. And actually that became really obvious as a very attractive path for me, because the expert track is slightly different at Bain. We have a lot of former industry executives who are able to lend our expertise and join the consulting world in a slightly different way. So that became quite obvious that was the path for me.
Right. And you had, at that point, been having those conversations. You were no longer with the restaurant business, but you had taken on another job building out more sort of practical industry experience, right?
Exactly. After my restaurant days, I spent about 8 years at Amazon. A very, very practical job. I was essentially a buyer for Amazon for a few years before moving on and becoming more of a general manager in one of their categories. So yeah, I spent 8 years there across the UK, China, and ended up building out Amazon Singapore for them. So yeah, very, very different experience. Having spent 8 years there and having a wealth of e-commerce experience, I kind of started thinking about, okay, I've spent a lot of time in a kind of P&L line role. How could I use a lot of the expertise and knowledge that I gained at Amazon to kind of help Bain clients? And that was where I really pivoted and thought about coming back to Bain.
So Connie, as we start to wrap up, I want to ask you a little bit about your decision and your path back to Bain as an expert partner. But you alluded to it a second ago, and maybe we can just start with a quick description of what it means to be an expert partner, because that's not just saying a partner who's good at something. We mean it's a title, expert partner. Can you describe that for people listening?
Sure. The expert program at Bain basically allows our consultants to specialize in either an industry or a capability. So for example, you can be an expert like myself within the e-commerce retail industry, or you can also specialize in one of the areas that Bain consults for example, be an expert in performance improvement or in organizations. The expert program is great for those of us who has a real passion in a specific area of business and you really want to go deep there. As I mentioned before, a lot of our experts are former executives who've spent a number of years in industry and then pivot into consulting. But at the same time, we also have a lot of experts who have started life as a consultant, has been a lifelong consultant, but they want to specialize in a certain area, either because they've done a lot of previous work in that area or they just want to have a passion for that. So we have a lot of functional experts who can specialize in specific capabilities. So I talked a lot about the innovation and design team, for example, earlier in our chat, but there's also other capabilities such as the advanced analytics group. For me, they're the real brains of Bain. They're the ones that are really providing like really cutting edge analytics capabilities to deliver really complex analysis. So a lot of our work in the generative AI space, for example, sits here. There's also, for example, Forward, who is our team of digital marketeers, and they provide digital marketing and e-commerce diagnostics. So they specialize just doing that for our clients. So there's lots of ways for you to specialize within Bain and be an expert.
Yeah. And I've now been at a firm that had none of those or practice areas when I first joined 27-ish years ago. And I've had the opportunity to work with people in almost all of the groups you just mentioned. And the perspective is almost as valuable as the expertise. Just having that diversity of thinking around a problem just helps everything get better. And I learn a lot from their expertise and how they approach problems. It's really awesome to have them on the team. Connie, as we wrap up, I want to ask you for some advice that you would share with people who want to get more practical experience at Bain during their time at Bain. How should they be thinking about that as they think about their career journey?
Yeah, I mean, I took the extreme path and left for 13 years and came back. But there's also lots of ways you can do this without even leaving Bain. I think one of the best things about Bain is the amount of flexibility that the firm allows you to take. So you could take an LOA like myself. You can go traveling and do something very, very practical. You learn a lot of life skills during your LOA, even if you're just planning your travels. But more formally, taking an externship, I think, is also a great option for people to do. That allows you to have real life experience in industry. And it's almost quite a risk-free way to really try something differently whilst you're still within the Bain family. Right. And a lot of externship opportunities come within either Bain clients or friends of Bain. So something I certainly encourage people to do.
That's really well said, Connie. And I couldn't agree more that externships are something people are like, what does that even mean? And I say, well, that means we'll let you go work someplace else and try it out and build some practical skills and see how things really work. I've spoken with some of my mentees that have done them, and they go to clients and see how it really works when the Bain team is gone and you have to sort of do the work, and they come back a lot better for it. And it's always a great experience for them. Connie, I want to thank you for taking some time today to be on the podcast. It was great meeting you through this process and hearing a little bit about your story. So thank you.
Thank you, Keith, and lovely chatting to you today.